Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 75 of the Crick Picks podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. With me, once again, back is Estelle Vasudevan, who you can find at Estelle_Vasudevan1 on Twitter. And then we don't have Jared this week. We've got Varun again, who you can find literally nowhere. And just a quick briefing on what this show is all about, if you're new. On Crick Picks, what we do is we take any generic cricket category and we draft our top five each for that category in a snake-style draft competition, which basically means that the pick order goes 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. And sometimes what we do is that we combine to draft teams of 12, which is kind of what we're doing today. And we created the all-time global test team not too long ago. And today we're tasked with creating an all-time global ODI team. And the only rule is that you may only select one cricketer per nation. So yeah, exciting task, I suppose. And Varun has first pick for this one. So let's see what direction he goes.
Yeah, I could go what I did last time, which is just go for the weak teams. Yeah, but I'm just not going. I'm just too lazy to do that because I honestly don't know who the best players from the weak teams are for this. I think I'm going to go for a very relatively safe pick and go with Richards, number four.
Ooh. Interesting. Like,
okay.
Because with test team, I'm very careful not to ruin it. This is just ODI cricket, so if it's fucked up, who cares? Like,
it's interesting how all of us were on the knockout, right? The ODI bowlers knockout. And there was a West Indian bowler who won that.
So that's between the two of them.
That was going to be my first pick.
So I had him down as my first pick as well, and now he's just not going to make the team at all. What are Vince's numbers?
So what was it? Like, he was averaging 48 or like at 90. That's close to Rohit's career numbers, right? So my logic was like, the difference, there's so many great bowlers from other countries that I don't think it matters in much in ODI cricket. And also, as much as I love bowlers, you as a bowler, you can only bowl 10 overs.
True.
Whereas I think Viv on his day could get like 150 of 100. Who knows what he does, right?
Interesting pick, right? You have messed it up for both Estelle and myself. And
I thought that was going to be like an easy first pick for me.
Yeah. Also, I was so sure that he was going to go that direction because he loves fast bowlers, right? So I was like, oh, he's obviously going for Garner. But Big Bird will miss out. And that kind of throws everything in the spanner because I messaged these guys prior to the podcast that I have a perfect team. So don't fuck it up, Varun. And first pick, he fucks it up, which is brilliant. I love it. Okay, so
he didn't
Viv
fuck
Richards.
Up the team. He just fucked up
the perfect team. Yeah.
Yes.
Estelle, write that down as well. I forgot to mention that someone has to be Jared for this one. So Varun has gone Viv Richards. And it's still a pretty good pick. I could also, for my first pick, go for a weaker team and make this easy for the rest. But you know what? I'm in a very selfish, greedy mood. And I'm going to go for one of my standard Pakistan picks by Behram. And I'll just take Wasim Akram off the table because he was going to be on this team anyway. I feel like he's the most obvious Pakistan pick. You get a left arm quick, which you will need. 502 wickets and 356 ODIs at a bowling average of 23.5. His economy is also under 4. And he has more wickets than any other fast bowler in ODI cricket. The second most wicket tally in the format ever. And I mean, this guy was otherworldly with the new ball and old. He was the sultan of both conventional and reverse swing. He kept evolving over nearly a 2-decade-long career. By the end of it, he had a tiny run-up and he was still a menace to face. And he was no mug with the bat either. Could hit a very, very long ball. So I feel like he could slot in perfectly at like 8 or 9. 9 maybe preferably, but 8 would also be fine. So yeah, you guys can slam me in the comments all you want. I'm just going to make this easy for myself.
I don't think there's anything to slam, right?
Yeah, it's a great pick. I think you could argue there's better bowlers, but I think with the fact that he's a left-armer and the fact that he can bat, like he's a great great ODI asset, and he would have been a great T20 asset as well. Like, I know it's not the spot, but yeah.
True. Okay, Stel, your turn. Two picks in a row.
I got Wasim as well. I thought it was a pretty obvious pick when thinking about Pakistan, maybe unless you consider like a Sakhalin or someone. Okay, I'm going to take the easy route because last time people had problems with my picks. I will go with obvious ones. So, Shakib for Bangladesh.
Yeah.
In the middle order. Mm-hmm. There's no one else you can pick from Bangladesh. But the interesting thing, I think, with ODI and T20 cricket is that you're not restricted to 12 teams, right? So, I mean, no. You could pick someone from Canada if you want to.
True.
Because they played ODI cricket, right?
That's a great Scotland pick you could go for.
Yeah. There are a few, actually.
Just to be safe, Shakib Al Hasan in the middle order. I mean, what's there to say about his numbers, right? He's got 7,500 plus runs at 37, and then wickets, he's got 300 plus. So he's, you know, that real asset in the middle order for Bangladesh, and he's carried them through. I think maybe if he played for a better team, he would have had a better record as well. He's had to rescue them a lot. So I think it's a pretty obvious pick for Bangladesh. So that
his
would
bowling
be
average is below 30, isn't it? Still, if my memory serves me correct,
should be.
Yeah, averaging 29.52,
which is insane.
Economy of 4.5,
you know,
for a defensive. Very respectable numbers for a spinner.
If you're a defensive bowling option, I think those are fantastic numbers. And I think if you look at all three formats, maybe ODIs was where Shakib was at his best. So it's an even easier pick in that regard, I feel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's, I hope no one has any problems with that pick.
You guys need to stop bothering Estelle. The shows or the Crick Picks episodes aren't nearly half as much fun when she isn't around. Okay? Be nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Just slag off Bahram. He's an easy target.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the easy target for you guys. Okay, my second one. So I considered briefly going to another, like, smaller team. But I kind of want a big name on my list as well. So let's go AB de Villiers as the South African pick. 228 games, 9,500 runs, averaging 53, striking at over 100.
Damn. I mean, if you're averaging 53.5 and striking it at over 101, that is pretty much the most ridiculous ODI career ever, is it? Like, in terms of impact, at least?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean...
I think I had crazy, right?
For
numbers.
South Africa, but I don't mind AB at all.
No, I had AB. He's only played 228 ODIs and missed out on 10K runs by, what, 423 runs, right? He also, by the way... He does or has scored the fastest ODI 100, right? I can't remember the number of deliveries. Maybe it was like 31 or something. But
does
that's
he still have the fastest ODI 50 as well?
I'm not quite sure about that one. But, you know...
Yeah.
Think so.
If you think about it, 228 ODIs, 25 tons and 53 50s. That goes up to what, 78, is it? 50 plus scores in 228 ODIs, which is kind
also,
of ridiculous.
If I'm remembering correctly, all his 100s are at a striker better than 100.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I think he's the only one to do it. I don't, like, it might be him and someone else. I can't remember.
I don't think there's any other batter out there who averages over 50 and strikes at over 100. I would be hard-pressed to believe that.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Maybe Shubman Gill does, I think. I don't know if his strike rate's 100.
True.
It might just
You're
be
right.
100.
No, it must be there and thereabouts. You actually might have a point over there. But AB, I think, was a very obvious pick. I was confused between him, Wasim, and Garner, actually. And since Garner is gone...
Gil's 99.56 in strike rate. Just below.
Nearly.
Just misses that. Yeah, he's a bit washed. So, yeah.
So, good job, Estelle. She's taken Shakib and AB. So, we've got...
good picks.
Viv at 3, AB at 4, and Shakib at 5, then, loosely. I mean, we don't have to decide this right now, but that's kind of where
we're
at.
We can push everyone down one as well, right?
I think, that works quite well as well, I think.
Yeah, because the India pick is going to be really interesting. You've got a couple of names over there, which I don't even want to touch, right? I'm fine letting that go, giving that one to Varun, right?
I'm more than happy with that, sir.
Again, I could go for an easy pick with respect to a weaker nation, but just so that I can pick this guy, and I apologize to Estelle in advance because she's the Australia girl, I'm going to go to Australia for my second pick, and I will just go ahead and nab Adam Gilchrist. He can open the batting. And I mean, this guy was destructive. For those of you who missed his career, you guys missed out big time. 9,619 runs in 287 ODIs at a batting average of nearly 36 and a strike rate of 96.94. Now, Varun might have his adjusted numbers, but that combination of average of nearly 36 and strike rate of nearly 97 is unreal for Gilchrist's era. 16 tons in 55-50s to top.
39.113.
See? So
also the 16 tons I read somewhere is all 16 came in winning causes.
Yeah, well there you go. Mm-hmm. He was a match winner, left-handed bat, explosive at the top of the order, and a fantastic wicketkeeper as well. So solves that problem for us. We've got an open.
Also, if you believe in the,
I mean, we had AB.
He has 350s and three finals, right?
Yeah, and then he has that done in the 2007 ODI World Cup mm-hmm. with the squash ball. Right? In which he destroyed Estelle's favorite bowler, Dilhara Fernando.
Did Dilhara Fernando play that final?
Yes, of course he did, Estelle. Yeah, he was in that
team.
Who was
the bowling attack? Did Maruf play or am I mistaking it for somewhere else?
Maruf
he might have
also played
as well.
Yeah. Hmm. Vaas, Maruf, Malinga.
Vaas and Murli are guaranteed.
Yeah.
I don't think Dilhara played.
Actually, no.
Anyway.
Maybe Dilhara didn't play. I mean, Kulasekara was also around at the same time.
This.
Yeah, let's just get to the bottom of this before we move forward, right? Because now it's important.
So Malinga,
so
Vaas,
Malinga, Dilhara,
sure.
Fernando, Murli,
oh,
Dilshan, and Sanath.
So yeah. Kulasekara,
no, Maruf. I was getting confused.
No,
Kulasekara. Interesting.
Kulasekara was 2011.
I thought he debuts a bit later, no? Yeah.
Who, Dilhara? Yeah. No. Dilhara has been playing.
No.
Not Dilhara, Kulasekara.
Perhaps you guys are right. I might have got the errors muddled. But again, 16 tons in 55-50s comes out to 50-plus scores. And I don't know his exact innings. I'm guessing it also must be close to 287 because he was opening the batting. But, you know, you've
279.
Got... Yeah, so 279 and that's 70-150-plus scores. And at the, you know, sort of, or with the approach that Gilchrist had, I feel like you're getting a lot in one player. Wicketkeeper, explosive batter, left-hander. So yeah, it's an easy pick for me.
Also, it's a weird saying this, but like Hayden also on the other end wasn't very attacking. Like if it makes sense, he's for his error. So Gilly was the one who's taking the chances in the power play.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, he is one of my personal favorites of all time. Plus, I've picked two left-handers. So my own, kink is being satisfied over here. Yeah. Okay. So what's the team thus far, Estelle?
Yeah, so we've got Adam Gilchrist opening. Mm. Then we've got Viv Richards, AB and Shakib in the middle order. And we've got Wasim as the only bowler picked so far.
Ooh, so that tells me that Varun now, for his back-to-back picks, might go in that direction and pick a bowler or two. But before he does that, we shall be taking a short break. You guys are watching Crick Picks with Bairam, Varun and Estelle. And we will be back in roughly 20 seconds. So go nowhere.
Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumper turned the Nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting.
Welcome back to Crick Picks. You guys are with Varun, Bairam and Jared, and we are creating an all-time global ODI team. Varun has two back-to-back picks coming up. We only have one bowler thus far in Wasim Akram, and my gut tells me that he might even just go for two bowlers. Let's see what he does.
I will be going for a bowler. I'm going for the New Zealand pick. I'm going Shane Bond.
Ooh! Mm, fascinating.
That's a great one.
I love that. We got express pace.
Shane Bond.
Yeah, because I think I was looking at New Zealand. They don't really have great batters. Like, at least I'm forgetting. And their two bowlers are, you can go Hadley and Bond, but I just like Bond. I think Bond's sexier.
Yeah.
He is very, very sexy. And plus, both of our bowlers in Wasim and Bond have really attractive bowling actions, right? So that's something. And his numbers,
also,
from what I
remember
recall,
from knockouts.
Great hair.
Yeah, but they were just elite.
Yes.
They're just elite. Like, it's like a boomer of his era or something close to it. Like, that's just proper strike bowler.
Yeah, but what are the raw numbers?
Really economical.
What are the raw numbers and then the adjusted numbers, if you have them handy?
So, the raw numbers are like an economy of 4.29 and a strike rate of 29, average of 21.
Okay.
And the adjusted is an adjusted strike rate of about 27 and an adjusted econ of 4.7. So, elite.
That is crazy.
Right.
Yes. I mean, injury kind of cut his career short, but he was special. He was that sort of visceral sort of bowler which you experienced and you were like, wow, just give me more and more of this. So I love that pick. I think that's one of the best picks thus far of this episode.
Because I also think Richard Hadley is very underrated in ODI cricket because he plays in a... Like, I think ODI fans just don't remember the 80s very well other than Viv Richards for some reason. Yeah. So, like, he just gets forgotten a bit. So we also need pace bowling all around though.
Yes.
In the top seven, I'd say. Right? I could go for the Indian pick, but I think with the Indian pick, then you would leave out two great batters. So
yeah.
I'm going to go for a pace bowler on a rounder from England. I'm going Freddie Flintoff.
I like that because I was confused between Stokes and Freddie Flintoff. But with Freddie, you get
Stokes
a bit more
isn't as
bowling.
Good as Flintoff with the ball. Well, yeah.
With the ball, right? Yeah. But with the bat, Stokes is exceptional. And he's one of the most clutch players to have played in the format.
But Flintoff probably matches that, right?
Oh, with the bat, not quite.
Flintoff, not as much in ODI cricket because England were terrible. So they didn't have many clutch performances were needed for them. But it, I was looking at his numbers. I think it's like his raw numbers are like averaging 33 at a strike rate of 88, and his bowling average is like 24 or something. He's very good at ODI cricket. Like his ODI numbers are basically what people think he was in Test cricket.
Yeah, I mean, right? So I remember looking at his numbers, and you know, with the bat, he's serviceable to quite an extent. He's like striking the ball at 88, and he's averaging what 32 or there and thereabouts.
Yeah,
right. And
for number seven, I think that's fine.
Yeah. Like, with the ball, though, he's averaging like 24 and a half from what I can remember.
Yeah.
So
that
is pretty good. And
originally,
plus,
in my team, I had Butler plus Klusner. So now we have AB plus Flintoff. So that's the big difference for me there.
Okay. I had Butler as well. Yeah.
Interesting. No, I did. I have Freddie slash Stokes because I was like, if we get more fast bowlers, then I don't need Freddie. Then I'm going to go Ben Stokes. But yeah, I mean, I have no issues with that. I'm quite happy with both of your picks, Shane Bourne and Freddie Flintoff. And I like how this team is shaping up. Also, I feel like having second pick in this podcast is like the best possible scenario.
I know. That's why I wanted to come in second.
You guys keep leaving all of these goated players for me. And I could really ruin this for Estelle. But you know what? I do like really... feel for her as my colleague, and I want her to have the Sri Lankan pick, so I'm going to leave that for her. Okay, I'll just go and take that player that I kept talking about from a weaker team, and for my third pick, I'll go Rashid Khan. I don't think. What? Why are you saying no? I left Sri Lankan legend for you on the table.
But I wanted to pick Rashid Khan because it would be so easy.
Yes, but like I could have gone with the off spinner, right? But I went with the leg spinner. Anyway, Rashid Khan is a very interesting record in ODI cricket because, you know, he's got like a bucket load of wickets. How many is it, Varun? 199, I think? 199 wickets in 114 ODIs.
In 114 games.
Yeah. So 199 and 114 is a terrific like turnover. And he's averaging 20.4 and his economy is 4.24. But there is the caveat that he hasn't taken an awful lot of wickets versus the best cricketing nations, and he's simply not as good in ODI cricket versus them.
So
he also has that
strike bowler versus the weak teams and a defensive bowler versus the best teams.
Yes. So. And we've seen how in ODI tournaments, ICC tournaments, he just hasn't been at his absolute best. But then again, when you go to Afghanistan, who else do you pick? You'll also need a wrist spinner in this team, and Rashid can give the ball a proper whack with the bat. Like, he will get his helicopter shots out and he will make room, and you know, he has this weird funky sort of style of batting, and it could potentially help our team. He might even be able to slot ahead of Wasim, right? Like, you could have Rashid at 8 and Waz at 9, and that way you have a deepish batting lineup. And plus, like, if you just look at the raw numbers, he might just be the best spinner of all time, but we know that that's not true. Either way, it's a safe pick, it's an easy pick, and it allows Estelle to pick her Sri Lankan legend.
You know, funnily enough, I was... Yeah, now I'm going to pick him, but I was actually considering the opening bat all-rounder as well. Because he gives you the... He has 400-plus ODI wickets, right?
I mean, that's true.
Like, that's still a great record, but we've got a lot of all-rounders in this side, particularly with Chucky.
Yeah, also,
Ben,
do you want to be
well?
The person that leaves out the other Indian opener?
Exactly. I really don't want to be that
But
guy,
are
right?
we picking an Indian opener is the question, right?
That's the
are
big one.
No, but do you, like, because if you go Sanath, you don't have a choice in that. So it would be your fault.
I think you need
advice, go for the bowler and delegate the responsibility.
Go for the bowler because we need the bowler.
Yes, I'm definitely going, but I have two picks. And I think my second pick is probably going to then make the decision about the Indian pick as well. Anyway,
I suppose.
So I'll go with Murali as our number 11. As we've discussed, and you guys would see, it's a pretty obvious one. I think, I mean, you can't argue it, right? 530 plus wickets, averaging 23, economy less than 4. It's very, very hard to argue that he should be Sri Lanka's pick, right? I mean, you've got other players who've done well, but there's no one who can match that kind of quality in whether it's, you know, in whatever format, test or ODI cricket. So Murali will be my next pick.
Also, like, no one has taken more than 534 wickets in ODI cricket. Plus, you have Rashid as your wrist spinner, and now you've got an off-spin bowling option who has the dusra. So that's like a different kind of bowler altogether,
and
right? He's an attacking option.
His left arm orthodox as well.
Yeah, Shakib with the left arm, yeah.
Then you've got Bond with his express pace, Wasim with his left arm angle, and then you've also got Freddie. So honestly, I don't think we need to select any more bowlers. We can just go for out-and-out batters from here.
Yeah, we don't have a spot for another bowler, actually. Mm. So we've got got an opening spot and number three open if we want to push Viv to four. Mm. And we've got the 12th. So
yes, you could go for an associate player and we could just have that player as 12th. Like, that's an easy cop-out if you don't want to do the Indian pick, because that is the one that we none of us want to. We don't want to take that responsibility and get completely blasted in the
conversation. I think we'll leave the 12th pick for the last pick, right?
I mean,
so let me go anger half the Indian population by picking Virat Kohli as number three.
Oh!
I had him as well.
I actually had Sachin.
You had Sachin?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
I mean, I get the Kohli pick, though. I understand it.
I think, though, it's easier to pick a... Isn't it easier to pick a opening batter versus a number three?
I agree. That's my logic. That's what I was thinking as well.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's fair because, you know, I feel like first drop is the most important batting position in ODIs, and Virat Kohli is arguably the best ever to play in that position, right? His numbers speak for themselves. He's got the most number of tons in ODIs. He crossed Sachin's 51, didn't he?
Yeah.
How many does he have?
So 302 games.
Sachin at 49 and Virat is 51 now.
51, yeah.
Oh, never mind.
And,
okay.
You know, 14,000 plus runs, averaging 57 and striking at 93, right? So, I mean, barring AB, like if you look at that record, it's incredible. The longevity and like the ability to sustain that level of, you know, quality. I think for me, the question was between Sachin and Virat for India, but I think it might be easier to pick another opener from a different country as opposed to a number three from somewhere else. So Virat it is.
Okay, so Estelle has done it. She has kind of made life easy for us. And what's the team looking like right now? I just need to get
so
a lay of the land.
We've got Gilchrist opening, and then we've got an opening slot open. Virat Kohli, Viv Richards, AB de Villiers, Shakib Al Hasan, Freddie Flintoff, Rashid Khan, Wasim Akram, Shane Bond, and Muthiah Muralidharan. So we need a 12th and we need an opening batter.
So this is tough. Tough because, you know, if you want to pick an opening batter from a weaker nation, that opening batter has to be pretty much the best player that's ever played for them. And that is a lot of pressure. So I personally feel that I'm not going to be as generous as Estelle and leave the 12th man for last. I'm just going to leave the opener for Varun. But then again, there are some fantastic options for 12th man. I don't know if you guys considered the Kenyan player, because I did, right? And he had a fantastic career. Then there is a Dutch player. There are two Dutch players, right? Both of them have a solid sort of claim to this team. One of them was also...
I mean, there's one Dutch player, I think, is a middle order batter, no?
Yes, there is one Dutch player. But that middle order batter bowls a bit, right? And so does the Kenyan player, if you really think about it. So I'm a bit confused. What direction do I go? Or do I just go with a new age Dutch player? Because that could also work. Here's another one. There is a deceased Zimbabwean player, which we could go for. If it's a seamer friendly wicket, then that guy could be a handful.
I was on those lines as well.
So you know what? Maybe just because, you know, looking at our team, there could be a situation in which you're like, you know what? We don't need Rashid Khan for this one. Murali is good enough. We need an extra seamer in there. And based on that rationale, I feel like it makes sense to go with Heath Streak as my final pick. He will be 12th for now in this team, which means that Varun will have to pick the opener. And Heathstreak's ODI record is actually quite fantastic. You know, he played 189 ODIs. He's got 2,943 runs at an average of 28.29 and 13 50s to add. And in those 189 ODIs, he also has 239 wickets at an average of 29.82. So under 30, economy of 4.5. And again, if the conditions suit him, he could slot in for one of the spinners, I suppose.
For Rashid.
Yeah, for Rashid, surely, not for Murli. I'm quite satisfied with that pick. I feel like all things considered, it was the proper direction to go. Okay.
Yeah,
then.
So the other Zimbabwean I had in mind was Neil Johnson, who was an opener. Hmm. So I was like, I didn't know if you're going to go for the Irish pick or the Zimbabwean pick.
There is a very good Irish
opener. And Johnson's an all-rounder as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think there is only one Irish opener I can think of. That's Paul Sterling. Hmm. I'm going to go Paul Sterling for the opener because I can't think of anyone else.
Well, there was Ed Joyce and William Porterfield as well.
Yeah, but Sterling's
William Porterfield
surely
has much worse numbers than Sterling.
Yeah. Sterling's ODI number is probably good, right?
Yeah.
Sterling averages 38 at a strike rate of 88 as an opener. Hmm.
That is quite
1400s
impressive.
1400s and
3150s. Is that a better career than, I don't know, Tamim Iqbal?
I assume it would be.
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah.
And Sterlo, of
but
course.
But you'd also assume that they played a lot. They played a few more games against associate countries, right?
Hmm. That is also
Ireland.
True.
Yeah. And obviously, Indian fans will be okay with this pick because he has 200s versus Pakistan. So
yeah. Also, it's interesting. So, you know, if we had gone Sachin, I feel like at number three, we could have potentially had Tendus Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like Ryan Tendus Carter is really unlucky to miss out.
We could have pushed to three and
pushed
Tendus Carter lower also.
Tendus Carter, by the way, batted 32 times in ODIs, scored 1,541 runs. And he's averaging 67. So that's why I was really confused. I was like, he could be our 12th man, right? But the team balance suggested that Streak was a better pick. And also,
so as Estelle suggested, we could be with 3 and Tendo 4.
Yes. And then, of course, hipster pick would have been Steve Ticolo. Those kids who watched cricket in the late 90s and early 2000s will obviously remember him. But yeah, I feel like the biggest miss probably is Tendus Carter. So
I don't know, I couldn't have picked them anywhere here, so
yeah, you could
you could
anyway. That kind of wraps up our team. What does it look like, Estelle?
Okay, so we've got Adam Gilchrist and Paul Sterling opening the batting. Virat Kohli at number 3, Viv Richards at number 4, AB at 5, Shakib Al Hassan 6, Freddie Flintoff 7, Rashid Khan, Wasim Akram, Shane Bond, Muthiah Muralidharan for the bowling, and then Heathstreak as the 12th in case we want an extra seamer.
Yes. So that checks out.
Should I go with the individual picks as well?
Yeah, I quite like that team. And individual picks, honestly, I really could have won this, but I chose not to because I gave Estelle her pick.
You chose not to, okay.
I did. Okay. I really wanted to go Murali.
I mean, if you'd gone Murali, I would have picked Rashid anyway. I know. Okay, so Varun got Viv Richards, Shane Bond, Freddie Flintoff and Paul Sterling. Biram picked Wasim Akram, Adam Gilchrist, Rashid Khan and Heathstreak. SL picked Shakib Al Hassan, AB De Villiers, Muthiah Muralidharan and Virat Kohli. Biram is out of the race.
That's a very strong fall.
Yeah, yeah. What a comeback though, you know. She started with Shakib and she ended with Kohli and Murali. So, very, very strong finish for Estelle. I don't
ABD,
think
Kohli,
to...
Murali. Yes. Come on.
Yeah,
what was
AB,
your perfect
Murali,
team,
Kohli,
by the way?
My perfect team is now gone because I've erased it. As soon as you guys kept making your picks, I kept erasing my players. But the one really controversial pick that I had in there was Kane at 3. Because I had Garner, right, with Waz. So, other than that, I had Sachin opening the batting. I was unsure about my 12th. I did have Freddie / Stokes and Shakib and AB. We're good on that front. But I love the Bond pick. So I'm not perturbed one bit. I actually I really like our team. And that
New Zealand
has
was
happened.
A tough pick for me as well. Because like, who is the outstanding kind of ODI cricketer, right? That you pick?
But I think what's most remarkable is that now we've had two of these Quick Picks podcasts in which all three of us are quite content with the team that we've ended up with. And that barely ever happens. So clearly we're on to
something. But that's not going to happen in the comments.
No, of course not. The Sachin fans are coming for you. So you might have won this, Estelle, but you have upset a lot of people. And that is responsibility that Varun and I just did not want to take.
No, I think just purely because of the age curve, I think it's better going against Sachin fans than Virat fans.
Also, I mean, it's a tricky one because you, of course, have to look at eras. And Sachin has more runs. Virat has more victories, maybe. I don't have the exact numbers, but I would assume that Virat has won more.
Assume.
Yeah.
More high percentage. I don't know about higher wins. But
yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was always going to be a tough one between those two. It always had to be one of those two. And yeah, you
I
let
love
us
the
know.
3-4-5 though, in the team. I think that's perfect. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, we could have gone Bumrah as one of the bowlers and just taken away both of those picks.
I think you have to have one of Sachin or Virat in the team, though. it was an interesting exercise. And you guys let us know who came second, because obviously Estelle has won this. And also, give us your global all-time ODI teams in the comments below as well, so that we kind of understand where we could have gone differently or where you think we could have gone differently. But yeah, that's it for this episode. That wraps it up. Just a quick reminder, you can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage, and that can prove to be your one-stop shop for all the fun work that we do as part of this team, whether it be written content, videos, or podcasts. And yeah, we'll see you next week on another one of these Quick Picks, and you'll have plenty of podcasts in between. That's all for now, folks. Have a good one, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Baron Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, you will need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up great clips from your podcast chats and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.